الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the book of As-Siyam, Kitab As-Siyam من عمدة الأحكام by Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi رحمه الله تعالى. We have seen in the previous class the virtues of fasting and the high and the lofty status of fasting and a number of the wisdoms and benefits that a believer who would obtain from fasting, seeking the reward and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that as-siyam is a ruknu al-rabi' min arkan al-islam. It is the fourth pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. Likewise, in the previous class, we have seen the definition of fasting linguistically and also legislatively, and the benefits that are related to that. So the author now, he begins mentioning the narrations from this chapter that he has selected, beginning with a particular order and arrangement. First and foremost, with the rulings related to that which is leading up to the month of Ramadan, which is the obligatory fast and the greatest, the most beneficial fast. After that, following that up with the manner that the affirmation of that fast and the coming of that obligation, how it is established. And likewise, after that, the affairs that one will perform in preparation for the day of fasting, so on and so forth. So the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصومه. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا تقدموا, أي لا تتقدموا, and he do not proceed, لا تقدموا رمضان بِسَوْمِ يَوْمٍ وَلَا يَوْمَيْنِ, do not proceed Ramadan with the fast of 1 or 2 days, with the fast of 1 or 2 days. إِلَّا رَجُلٌ كَانَ يَسُومُ صَوْمٍ فَلْيَسُومُهُ, except for a man. What is intended here, meaning a person, not necessarily a male, except for a man who used to fast a fast, meaning he was accustomed to fasting certain days throughout the week or throughout the month, and they happened to fall 1 or 2 days before Ramadan. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an exception for his case. He said, فَلْيَصُمْهُ, then let him fast those days that he normally fasts. So here is a prohibition of fasting 1 or 2 days before Ramadan, and that this is not allowed. And that is in the case for the one who is making that fast, 1 or 2 days, or even more. Yani this is what is normal. Yani that it will be 1 or 2 days. And the issue here is with regards to al-ihtiyat. يعني احتياطاً لرمضان, just in case it may be Ramadan. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, يعني from this word here, لا تقدموا, يعني لا تتقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين, do not make the fast of one or two days a مقدمة, in prelude or in preface or an introduction before Ramadan. لا تجعلوا صوم يوما ولا يومين مقدمة لرمضان, and you make it as a preface or an introduction, يعني just in case or in preparation for Ramadan. As for the one who normally fasted, for example on يوم الاثنين or on يوم الخميس, or somebody who normally fasted every other day throughout the month, and this was his methodology, and with regards to his personal worship, and that occurred 1 or 2 days before Ramadan, then this person here is not making that fast an introduction or a preface or a prelude, any in preparation or just in case it may be Ramadan. Rather, he's fasting a fast that normally he would fast, and therefore the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he allowed that, and he said فَلْيَصُمْهُ, and in that case of a person who normally fasted a day, a particular day, and it fell 1 or 2 days before the coming of Ramadan, then it will be allowed for him to continue to fast. Likewise, in the case of a person who had a day to make up from Ramadan before, and he had not made that day up yet, then he will fast 1 or 2 days before Ramadan, or 3 days likewise. And this will not be considered any that he sama Salman ja'alahu muqaddimatan li Ramadan. He would not be considered here in the prohibition that he fasted a day, making it a prelude or a preface or an introduction or precaution for the coming of Ramadan. So this is the issue here. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned the wisdom behind this is because that the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan is established by the sighting of the moon. It's established by the sighting of the moon. And to precede that sighting, to fast ahead of that sighting, before that is established, is as if that person is finding fault with that ruling. And he is not sufficing with that ruling. So therefore, it's not allowed. It's not allowed in protection of this law, in protection of this legislation. The month of Ramadan is established by the sighting of the moon. By the sighting of the moon. The evidences will come for this and the manner of that. So to precede Ramadan by one or two days, just in case, he's preceding that ruling and the coming of that sighting. So therefore, it's as if he's not sufficing with the law and the legislation that is prescribed. So this is something that is prohibited, yani to avoid this affair. Again, as for the person who normally fasted or he had an obligatory fast to make up, then he will be allowed to fast that day, and it's not considered that he's making this as a preface or a prelude to Ramadan, or fasting any one or two days before Ramadan just in case. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that this is the amount that normally one he will fast. But likewise, if it was 3 days as well, all of this is included. It's not allowed for a person to fast 1, 2, or 3 days in the situation where he's making it a muqaddimah for Ramadan, or making it any just in case that possibly it could be the coming of Ramadan. And this is the prohibition. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا رأيتموه فصوموا وإذا رأيتموه فأفطروا فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له. The author, he now mentions the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إذا رأيتموه فصوموا. If you see it, يعني إذا رأيتموه يعني الهلال, هلال رمضان, فصوموا. If you see the new moon of Ramadan, then fast, يعني meaning the next day. وإذا رأيتموه فأفطروا. And if you see the hilal again, meaning the hilal of Shawwal, then you break your fast. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. And if the sighting is obscured by something, meaning a person is not able to see it because something is blocking the view in the sky, then estimate the month. This narration here has been narrated by a number of companions. From them here, Abdullah ibn Umar. And likewise, it's been narrated as well by Abi Hurayrata, and also by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And it's a well-known narration. This is something that the companions, they were aware of, radiallahu anhum, the manner of establishing the coming of Ramadan, and likewise the manner and the methodology of establishing the coming of Eid al-Fitr. And this narration, as we all know, is mutafiqun alayhi, and from the strongest of those narrations. All of the narrations here in general in this work are mutafiqun alayha, yani in al-Bukhari and Muslim. But likewise, there are other wordings as well similar to this that clarify the intent and clarify the understanding of how to establish the coming of Ramadan. When does the obligation of fasting Ramadan begin? And it has been narrated by Abi Hurayrata radiallahu anhu that he said, ذَكَرَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ الْهِلَالِ. The Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he mentioned the new moon. فقال إذا رأيتموه فصوموا وإذا رأيتموه فأفطروا فإن أغمي عليكم فعدوا ثلاثين. That the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned the new moon, and then he said, if you see it, then you fast, and if you see it, then you break your fast, and if the sighting is obscured, you're not able to see it because of something in the sky, فعدوا ثلاثين, then count 30 days. So this is the case. Either the moon, it will be sighted on the 30th night of Sha'ban, and the next day will be Ramadan, or it will not be sighted, and the next day will be the 30th day of Sha'ban, and a month in the Islamic calendar, A legislative month is either 29 or 30 days. It's either 29 or 30 days. So this is the methodology. If you see the moon on the 30th night, then the next day, Fashumu, then you fast. The next day is Ramadan. And if you do not see the moon, then the next day is the 30th of Sha'ban, and the day after that will be the first of Ramadan. And the same methodology, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified as well. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا. And if you see the moon of Shawwal, فَأَفْطِرُوا. فَإِنْ أُغْمِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَعُدُّوا ثَلَثِينَ. And if it is obscured, you're not able to see the sign, then count 30 days. Then count 30 days. So therefore, and the 30th night of Ramadan, if the moon is sighted, the next day is Eid. And if the moon is not sighted, then the next day is the 30th day of Ramadan, and the day after that is the day of Eid. And this has been clarified in a number of wordings. This is in this hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, is mutafiqun alayhi. Likewise, another hadith by the same narrator, by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also mutafiqun alayhi. Similar like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Sumu li ru'yatihi, wa aftiru li ru'yatihi, fa'in ghubbi'a alaykum, fa'in ghubbi'a alaykum, fa'akmilu iddat al-sha'ban 30. This is even clearer and clearer. And in the first narration, the author, he mentioned, if you're not able to see the moon, then estimate the month. And then the other wording that we've seen from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, if you're not able to see it, فَإِنَّ أُغْمِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَعُدُّوا ثَلَاثِينَ. Count 30. Then count 30 days. And in the month that you're in, count it 30 days. This other wording here from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, even clearer. Fast at the sighting of the moon, and break the fast at the sighting of the moon. فَإِنْ غُبِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعْبَانَ 30. Then complete the period of the month of Sha'ban 30 days. So these narrations, they're very clear. Likewise, again, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, also from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْهِلَالَ فَسُومُوا وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَسُومُوا 30 يَوْمًا فَسُومُوا 30 يَوْمًا. This is with regards to Ramadan. That if you see the new moon, then you fast. And if you see the new moon, then you break your fast. Meaning the new moon of Shawwal. Then break your fast. And if the sighting is obscured, فَصُومُوا 30 يَوْمًا. Then fast 30 days. So if the moon is sighted on the 30th night, alhamdulillah. The next day, yani the moon of Ramadan, the next day is the first day of Ramadan. If not, it will be the 30th day. Then you will count 30 days. فَعُدُّوا Sha'ban 30. Then count Sha'ban 30 days. And that means the next day will be Ramadan, no doubt. And then likewise, the same situation. That you on the 30th night of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَأَفْطِرُوا أَوَأَفْطِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. And it all has the same meaning. And if you see the new moon, then break your fast. Meaning the new moon of Shawwal. Oh, if the new moon is sighted, then break your fast. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَصُومُوا 30 يَوْمًا. And if you're not able to see the new moon of Shawwal on the 30th night, then you fast 30 days. So this is something that is very clear in the likes of these narrations. And this is what the people of knowledge have established. And there's a consensus with regards to this. If the moon of Ramadan is sighted, then the next day is Ramadan. And if the moon of Shawwal is sighted, then the next day is Eid. And if it's sighted by two reliable Muslims, then there's a consensus about that. If the moon is sighted by two reliable Muslims, then there's a consensus that the next month has entered. And either the moon of Ramadan, then the next day is Ramadan. Or the moon of Shawwal, then the next day is Eid. But the many of the people of knowledge, rather the majority of them, have mentioned with regards to the coming of Ramadan, that there is acceptable that the testimony of one reliable Muslim is accepted. For the coming of Ramadan. As for the exit of Ramadan, then there must be this the sighting of two reliable Muslims. So in the coming of Ramadan, it's allowed to accept the sighting of one reliable Muslim to affirm the establishment of the obligation and the entrance of Ramadan, the obligation of fasting and the entrance of Ramadan. And as for the exiting and leaving of Ramadan, then there must be at least two reliable Muslims. Likewise, this has been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are a number of narrations clarifying the obligation of two, of the sighting of two. And this is something that is in general with regards to all of the months. That the sighting of the months, they are established by the testimony of two reliable Muslims. As for the coming of Ramadan, this is the exception. This is the exception, and it has been narrated by Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he said, "Tara an-nasu al-hilal, fa akhbartu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anni ra'aytuhu fa samahu wa amara an-nasa bi siyamihi wa amara an-nasa bi siyamihi." Then Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that people, they went out to search for the new moon. So I informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I saw it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fasted and he ordered the people to fast. And he fasted at the sighting of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and he accepted his testimony, although he is one individual. So this is the evidence for that. This narration is authentic and is found in Sunan Abi Dawood. It's found in Sunan Abi Dawood. So this is the case with regards to the entrance of Ramadan. It's established by the sighting. It's established by the sighting. So this is the manner. It will occur in two ways. And in reality, there's three situations. But first and foremost is that the moon, it will be sighted. The moon of Ramadan, the new moon of Ramadan is sighted on the 30th night of Sha'ban by at least one reliable Muslim. Then the next day is Ramadan, and this is something that is established. And if the moon is not sighted, then the next day is the 30th day of Sha'ban, and the day after that is Ramadan. So the moon will either be sighted, and the next day is Ramadan, or the moon will not be sighted, and the next day is the last day of Sha'ban. This is the case here, and then the Ramadan will enter after that, yani inevitably, because the Sha'ban will only be 30 days, 29 or 30 days. So if it's the 30th day, then the next day is Ramadan. Then the next day is Ramadan. As for the calculation method, then this is rejected and not accepted. This is rejected and not accepted, and it's not relied upon, and it's not something that's considered. And the people of knowledge have clarified that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he coupled the ruling here with the sighting of the moon. So the people who rely upon the astronomical calculations, they're basing their judgment on the presence of the moon. On the presence of the moon. They will say that the moon is going to be present on this day, or the moon is going to be present on that day. Yani that they say it's Yulad, that it will be born. Meaning that on this day, the moon will be present. So they're not basing their judgment on the sighting of the moon. They're basing their judgment on the presence of the moon. بِوُجُودِ الْهِلَالِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not couple the ruling with the presence of the moon, whether the moon is present there or not in the sky. Whether the moon is in the sky or not, the ruling is not coupled to this. The ruling is not attached to this. The ruling is not based upon whether the moon is there or not. The ruling is based upon whether we see the moon or not. So if the moon is sighted, then the next day is Ramadan. And if it's not sighted, then the next day is the last day of Sha'ban. We understand this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi, idha ra'aytumuhu fasumu." And all of these rulings here, they're attached to the sighting of the moon, to the viewing of the moon, not to the presence of the moon. Even it's mentioned clearly, "Fa'in rubbiya alaykum, fa'in rubbiya alaykum, fa'in ghumma alaykum, fa'in ughmiya alaykum." Meaning, all these narrations, they have a similar meaning. If you're not able to see it, if there's for some reason you're not able to see the moon in the sky, it's not clear, there's clouds, or there's cloud cover, or there's dust in the sky, or there's something prohibiting the view, whatever the case may be, then what do? You count the month of Sha'ban to be 30 days. So whether it's there or not, that's not considered.
That's not considered. It's very possible in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to know whether the moon is there or not. To know whether the moon is there or not. If this was something that was considered and something that was intended and something that would be relied upon, then if it was ever unclear in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah would have sent Jibreel alayhi salam with revelation to clarify that the moon is present, although you can't see it. But the ruling is not coupled with the presence of the moon. Rather, the ruling is coupled with the sighting of the moon. And it's something that is easy. As for calculating the presence of the moon, this is something that requires specific knowledge that only a few people have. And the sacred rites of Al-Islam, they're not based upon specific knowledge that only certain people know. Rather, the rites of Al-Islam, they're established upon knowledge that's available and general and easy for all of mankind to see. Whenever the Fajr comes, it comes whenever the sun is rising. Everyone can see it. Whenever the sun is rising, the light's coming in the sky, everyone can see it. And whenever the Dhuhr comes, it's whenever the sun's in the middle of the sky, everyone can see it. Everyone can see it. Everyone can determine with the smallest amount of knowledge that the Dhuhr has come by looking at the shadow and looking at the position of the sun. And likewise, whenever the shadow is a bit longer and the light's like that in the other direction, whenever the Asr comes and whenever the sun goes down behind the horizon, something all mankind can see and identify. And whenever the light of the sun is completely gone and darkness sets in, something that all mankind can see. Although no doubt some scientists and some specialists today have calculated these affairs and we benefit from that, but the ruling is coupled with the position of the sun, and this is something in general that all people can see. And likewise, the entrance and the exit of the months as well. This is something that is established in a manner that all of mankind will be able to identify. Not something that's only special or specific to individuals with a special science or a special type of knowledge and the likes like this. So in any case, the calculation method is not relied upon. And what is relied upon is the sighting with the eye. And what is intended is the sighting with the naked eye. And it's not necessary to use telescopes. But if somebody used the telescope, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it would be accepted because it's just an instrument, yani, that's helping the eye to see. But it's not a requirement nor is it necessary. But if somebody sighted the viewing with a telescope, with an instrument that helped him to see further or to enlarge the image that he's looking through, then this would be accepted, and so long as he's seeing it with his eye. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they have clarified, even in previous generations. Yani all the way back to the time of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he died in the year 728. He refuted the methodology of the Hisab al-Falaki and the astronomical calculation. And he mentioned that the one who relies upon that and follows that way has fallen into innovation and the likes like this. And even before him, likewise, this is a methodology that was not accepted by the people of knowledge. That was not accepted by the people of knowledge. There's another circumstance that could occur that is mentioned here, and that is related to this topic. First, we see the sighting of the moon, the month enters by the sighting of the moon. Or if the moon is not sighted, then the next day is the 30th day of Sha'ban. This is the methodology. But there's an issue with regards to that. And the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to if it's not sighted. As for if it's not sighted, the moon is not sighted on the 30th night of Sha'ban, for example. On the 30th night of Sha'ban, the moon is not sighted and the skies are clear. And the skies are clear, then the next day is the 30th day of Sha'ban. And there's no difference about this. There's no difference about this. As for if the sky is not clear on the 30th night, then the next day is considered Yawm al-Shak, the doubtful day. Because at this time, on the 30th night, it's possible that the moon was there, it's possible that it was not there, but there's something obscuring the view. There's something that's obscuring the view. So the narrations are clear. We already understand the methodology. The narrations have covered that. What do? You count 30 days. But just to mention these affairs so that we have insight and we're aware of them. In any event, this is something that people of knowledge, they have discussed. So that day would be considered the day of doubt, the doubtful day, Yawm al-Shak. But the Yawm al-Shak, likewise, it's not allowed to fast that day. So the ruling is the same, as has preceded. But some of the people of knowledge have differed about that, but the evidences are clear. And from that which clarifies this issue here, the day of doubt, even more, is the narration of Ammar ibn Yasir رضي الله عنهما من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم, that whoever fast on the day that is doubtful, then indeed he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim, then indeed he has disobeyed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is collected authentically in the books of the Sunan, yani Sunan al-Arba'a. As-Sunan al-Arba'a. So this is clear here. Man sama al-yawm alladhi yushakku fihi faqad asa Abu al-Qasim, that whoever fasts on the day that is doubtful, on the day that is doubtful, whether it's the last day of Sha'ban or the first day of Ramadan, then indeed he has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. He has disobeyed Allah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would only know this because this is something that he knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden. And this is also clear in the rest of these narrations. فَإِنْ غُبِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَإِنْ أُغْمِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. All of this, يعني فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ يعني إِنْ حَالَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ رُؤْيَتِهِ غَيْمَ. Ghaim, al-ghaim is the clouds and the clouds in the sky. So this is all mentioned here in these narrations. You do the same thing. فَعُدُّوا شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ فَسُومُوا ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا. You do the same thing, whether the sky is clear or whether it's not clear. Whether the sky is clear or whether the sky is not clear. But this is something that the people of knowledge, they differed about this along with these evidences. But we see that which is correct. There's a benefit in mentioning this. And this is something that it's important for us to be aware of. That a believer who do his best to follow the evidences that are clear for him from the book and from the sunnah. And whenever that is clear to him, then he will follow that. He will follow that. And if he finds that there are some reliable scholars, people of knowledge who have chosen a position contrary to that, he will not belittle them, or he will not doubt about them, or he will not pick at them or pick fun at them and the likes like this, or mock them or mimic them, or say, how could he follow that way? Isn't the narration clear? And make statements and the likes like this, and he would make an excuse for them. He would make an excuse for them, but he will follow the evidence that is clear in front of his face. A believer, he'll follow the evidence that's clear in front of him. He'll follow that. And then those scholars that had chosen a different position from this, he'll make an excuse for them. He'll make an excuse for them. Maybe these evidences didn't reach them, or maybe they reached them and they were not considered authentic with them, or they had understood the evidences differently in a different light, which is something that's very clear. That the Hanabila, they understood that فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ in a different manner. They understood that in a different manner. But in gathering these texts here, as we see what فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ means. يعني فَعُدُّوا شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ فَعُدُّوا ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا وَأُفَسُّمُوا ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا. All these other narrations that clarify the meaning of that. So this is something that's clear. The point to make now is that we should understand these affairs and then at the same time respect the people of knowledge. And this has been mentioned in one of the explanations by Al-Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned about one of the great scholars of his day, and how he was a judge in the area where he was from. And he was of the opinion that it's not allowed to fast on the day of Shek. And this is something he was teaching his students and clarifying for them. And he had another student likewise had become a judge as well in another district, in another area. And he visited him. And that particular judge, he had ruled based upon his opinion and based upon his position and the issue that everyone must fast that day. So whenever the other judge, who was elder, he's an elder, and this one, he's a student who made this ruling, he fasted that day based on the ruling of the judge in that land. And he was asked about this, and the students, they know his position about this, that you don't fast on that day. So whenever he mentioned his reason why, he mentioned the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, whenever he was in Mina with Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Uthman, he had decided to pray four instead of two. And then the people, they were unaware of this and of why he was doing that radiallahu anhu, and that was an ijtihad from him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he prayed behind him, and whenever he was asked about that, he said, radiallahu anhu, al-khilafu shar. Al-khilaf shar. He said, because differing amongst each other is evil. You need to differ with the imam and the ruler and to bring separation and dissension in the ranks. This is something that is evil. The point is now, that as Sa'di, rahimahullah, He mentioned after this, he says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So for this reason, the same understanding, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah, and do not be divided. And then he mentioned the benefit that yani we're looking for. He says, رَحِمُهُمَا فَالْعُلَمَا رَحِمُهُمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يُرَعُونَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَيُقَدِّمُونَ الرَّاجِحَ مِنْهَا. فَالْعُلَمَا الْعُلَمَا رَحِمُهُمَ اللَّهُ يُرَعُونَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَيُقَدِّمُونَ الرَّاجِحَ مِنْهَا. That the people of knowledge, they observe and they take into consideration the best interest any of the people and of the ummah in general, and they give preference to that which is greater. They give preference to that which is greater. So in certain situations like this, this is the way. Maybe there's something that's closer or better in the opinion of a person, but in doing that, he's going to go against the community. Not in something that's considered yani in violation. This is something that's a valid difference of opinion. Something that's a valid difference of opinion where the scholars are striving and the likes like this. So to not be a means to cause dissension, and to not be a means to cause division, and to not be a means yani to cause problems in the ranks. This is something that is considered. And this is something that many people today who ascribe to knowledge, yani especially in these lands, they do not consider. Rather, they follow their desires and they do what they want. And they put what's beneficial for them forward. Instead of looking what's beneficial for the ummah. And then because of this, many problems. And because of this, great shar comes. And this is a great problem. But rather, a person who is sincere and truthful, he will look into that which is most beneficial, and to the outcome of the situation, and which one will be in the best advantage for the community and for the Muslims in general, and which one will bring about harm. And he would avoid the one that brings about harm, even if he thought that is something good, because to avoid the harm and to prohibit that, or to prevent that, or to lie in that takes precedence. These are great principles. And likewise, we see as well that each of these individuals, they're understanding the evidence of the other. Although he didn't agree with him, he did not belittle him, or did not knock him down, or did not mock him, or did not take him out of the sunnah, or did not declare him to be misguided. He knows his position, he knows his evidence, he knows where he's going and the likes like this, and he makes excuse for them. And you make excuse for them. And this is the way that is moderate, and this is the way that is correct. As for belittling the people of knowledge and dropping them and replacing them with youth and replacing with people who are reckless, then this is indeed a way of the people of desires and not the way of the people of guidance and those who want good for the Muslims. So these are some of the benefits with regards to this narration. So the point now is that whether the 30th night, yani if the moon is not sighted, if the moon is not sighted on the 30th night, whether the skies are clear or whether they're not clear, the ruling is that the next day is the 30th day of Sha'ban, and Ramadan will be after that. So either the moon will be sighted or it will not be sighted. This is the issue. Then the people of Nadas, likewise, they discuss the affair of whether the sighting of one, whether one sighting encompasses all of the believers, or whether each one is according to its particular land and the likes like this. And these are also valid differences of opinion. And many of the people of knowledge, they have found that the sighting of one Muslim will be sufficient to establish the obligation of fasting for all of the believers. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَصُومُوا. Yani if one of you, if you see it, yani then all of you fast. فَصُومُوا, yani all of you. And likewise, others have mentioned that it's according to each land and the likes like this. And these are differences of opinion that are well known. We have discussed some of these details in previous works that we studied together. But what is important now in summarization is to know that it will go back to those who are in authority of the community, and those who are in charge of the affairs of the community for us specifically here in Masjid al-Tawheed. They will be the ones, the imam, and those who have authority, they will discuss these affairs and they will establish that for us, alhamdulillah, and we follow them. And likewise in the Muslim lands as well, then each one under a particular ruler, he will follow the choice and the decision of the Muslim ruler. Because the issues of al-ijtihad, whenever there are issues of al-ijtihad and differences because of striving, when there's no clear text, the judgment or the choice of the Muslim ruler, it ceases all disputes. And it's not allowed to differ with him after he has chosen one of these affairs. after he has chosen one of these affairs. So if the Muslim ruler, for example, has the position that they will find their own siding, then they will rely upon that, and those under his rule, they will follow his judgment. And if he was of the position that they will accept the siding from any reliable Muslim, then they will follow that, and he chooses that, then those under his rule and authority likewise, they will follow him. So the position of the Hakim, the Muslim Hakim, he cuts off all disputes and the likes of these affairs in order to avoid dissensions. And that's in the case if the Muslim ruler, he is abiding by the legislative means of establishing the month. As for if the Muslim ruler is relying upon the calculation method, then he will not be followed. Then he will not be followed in that, because this methodology is not legislated and it's not allowed. So therefore, those Muslims who are under a Muslim ruler who is announced that he's relying upon the calculation method, then that method will not be relied upon, and they will not follow that. But the methodology of dealing with this, the people of knowledge have clarified that if the Muslim ruler, for example, he chose to follow the al-hisab al-falaki, the astronomical calculation, if that calculation was in accordance with one of the legislative ways, any either the siding or going 30 days, then it will be accepted. And not the calculation, but they will follow their ruler. They'll follow the ruler because his calculations were in accordance with the legislative means. For example, if they in their calculations the Ramadan was on, for example, Yom Jumu'ah, and then it happened that the moon was sighted by a reliable source somewhere in the world on Thursday night. So therefore, their calculations was in accordance with one of the legislative positions, which is that it's allowed to fast whenever it's cited anywhere in the world by a reliable means. Or if they went 30 days, for example, the moon was not sighted, and then they went 30 days, and that day coincide with their calculations, then they will fast with him, not based on his calculations, but based on the fact that it coincided with one of the legislative means of establishing the month. We understand that? Alhamdulillah. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, as for in the case, if the ruler had chosen that calculation method and it was not in accordance with any legislative means, and it completely opposed all legislative means, meaning it did not coincide with the sighting of the moon nor with the completion of 30 days, then at this time the people, they will not fast. They will not fast with if he ordered them to fast the next day and it did not coincide with one of these proper legislative methodologies, then they will not fast. Rather, they will fast. They will look at the closest land to them, and that's reliable and following the proper means, and they will follow that way. And if they are afraid that maybe this could cause issues in their society or cause troubles and the likes like this, then they will hide their fast or hide the fact that they're breaking the fast, so on and so forth. But they will not follow that methodology, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he mentions the issue of as-sahur. He mentions two narrations from Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. But before the sahur, we discuss the issue briefly about the intention, about having the intention, and it's an obligation to have the intention the night before the day of the fast. This is something that is an obligation. We've seen in the definition of as-siyam shar'an that it was at-ta'abudu lillah azza wa jal min shakhsin makhsus bi-rimsaki an al-mufattirat min tulu' al-fajri ila ghurub al-shamsi bi-niyatin. So one has to have the niyyah. One has to have the intention, and with regards to the obligatory fast, that intention, it must be before the rising of the Fajr on the day of fasting. And it has been narrated authentically in Sunan Abi Dawood, and likewise in Tirmidhi, and also in Sunan Nasa'i, as well as Ibn Majah, and in Al-Kutub Al-Arba'ah. from the hadith of Hafsa bint Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man lam yubayyid as-siyama qabla al-fajr fala siyama lah," that the one who did not intend to make the intention for fasting before the fajr, then he has no fast. And also in one wording, la siyama liman lam yafridhu min al-layl, that the one who did not make the intention to fast at night time, he has no fast. Then he has no fast. So therefore, it's an obligation to intend to fast the night before. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the issue of Ramadan. Is it an obligation to intend to fast every single night, or would it suffice one intention at the beginning of Ramadan? Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that one intention would suffice. But the majority, they mentioned that it's incumbent to intend every single night. And this is what is strongest. So no doubt a believer in general, he will have the intention to fast Ramadan every day. Rather, so long as he's alive, he will have the intention to fast Ramadan every year. Every year. Yani for so long as he's alive and he's able. But whenever the Ramadan is approaching, and it's going to be the next day and it's identified, then a believer, he will no doubt have the intention to fast the whole month. He would have the intention to fast the whole month. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned that this would suffice. But better than that is to have the intention every single night. And the manner that the intention is established is simply that a person, he intends to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla by fasting the next day. Yani the intention here, what is intended? At-ta'abudu lillahi bis-siyam. To intend to fast. Yani to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, to fast tomorrow. So long as he has this in his mind, yani any time in the night time, then this is sufficient. And from the signs that a person has the intention to fast tomorrow is that he changed the time for his alarm. And he to get up early before the fajr. The fact that he has prepared or he's intending to take the sahur, for example. All of these are signs that he has an intention. So a person, he should not go to extremes. And he should not let the devil, let the shaytan, yuwaswisu bihi, he play with him and with his intention. Did I intend? Did I not intend? And in the fact that maybe somebody who will wake, he'll miss the alarm and the likes like this, or something will happen and he'll wake up after Fajr. Then he will say, "Is my fast good? Is my fast not good?" And we'll say, "What about your sahur?" He said, "Oh, it's in the refrigerator. Or it was left on the table." But the fact that the sahur is prepared for you and that you are intending to eat it, that's a sign that you are going to fast today. That's a sign that you have the intention to fast today. The fact that a person, he changes his schedule around in the nighttime and in the daytime. Even changing the fact that he changed yani his dinner time around and the likes like this, or his whole schedule is a bit different because of the fact that he intended to fast the next day. All of these are signs of the presence of the intention. So a person should not go to extremes with that. One issue that's important to mention with regards to this intention is that if a person had broken the fast, for example, he was sick. For example, he is sick, or a woman, she had her menses. She had intended to fast, for example, or he had intended to fast, and then for one reason, they broke their fast because of a sickness, or because of traveling, or because of menses for the woman, for example. So this person, whenever they're going to restart the fast after the sickness is gone, or after they return as a resident, or after the menses have gone and purification has come, now it's an obligation to renew the intention. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.